right, back with you live. Happy to have you along, my fellow tech enthusiasts. We keep an eye on tech, see it on half two. This broadcast is brought to you by networkprovidersinc.com. We are npitechguys.com. Jay Harrison with me for the broadcast. Welcome, sir.
Howdy, Sam. How's your tech
Another
day?
Another incredible episode of Tech Watch Radio takes off into the stratosphere. Automakers, Jay, want AM radios out of cars.
Oh, that's a shame.
Congress is about to require them by law. Jonathan M. Gitlin gives me this piece. It says the popular bill will force car companies to put AM radios in vehicles without extra charge, despite waning interest from drivers and the fact that they create all kind of electromagnetic interference, Jay. With that, let's talk about this for a second. I don't want to make it way political, but I don't see how you take the politics out of this story.
I don't know what
I've
the
got a problem
politics
with
are.
The force issue.
I don't know what the politics are on it. Like, are Republicans for it and Democrats are against, or vice versa? What is the politics of it?
I have no idea.
Because I see a double edge to all of it all the way around. Like, I don't think you should be forcing the market to do anything. But at the same time, I think it's sad that AM radio would be going by the wayside, especially if you're an AM radio station owner. You know, there's still a lot of good use for AM, I think. But, you know, I don't know that we should be legislating.
And that's where the debate starts and ends. I don't know that it's a Democrat or Republican debate. The issue is, can Congress force vehicle makers to put the AM radios in the cars without extra cost?
Well, you shouldn't have to.
They're saying the problem with the discussion is, hey, there's so much interference with modern vehicles that AM doesn't work well enough to even be useful. Others are saying, yeah, but in a crisis, AM radio will be the only communication. It'll be the last social network standing, if you will, Jay.
Now, wait a minute. Are they saying that in electric vehicles, these new high-tech EVs, that there's electromagnetic noise in them?
Yes, sir.
I could see that with mechanics and, you know, solenoids, and you got, I know they're not using distribution or distributors anymore and that kind of stuff where you had in spark, but you know, that kind of stuff, especially the high voltage spark and fuel ignition and all that stuff, I could see some of those issues. But in a smooth electrical, well shielded e vehicle, I don't think there should be as much electromagnetic noise, should there?
Well, I agree in theory, but they're saying there's too much of that. Part of it is the vehicle itself, and part of it has to do more with the environment in which we live. You got bridges, and you've got, you know, towers, and you've got, you know, G5 or 5G network stuff everywhere, and you've got so much noise in the world. You've never had that when AM days, you know, were kind of had their heyday, what, 50s, 60s, 70s kind of range.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have that stuff. You have it now, and AM is just getting drowned out. No offense to anybody else, but it's just hard to hear. But some are saying, you know what, if it all calms down, you know, radio stations have a way of staying up. They've got, you know, towers, and they've got, you know, batteries, and they've got generators, and they're more prepared. They say that communication will be kind of the last man standing if things really go south in society for any reason. You've got to have AM radio, they say.
I don't think people are going to really tune to that necessarily. They're going to probably tune to bigger, more well-funded FMs that are more likely to be on the air. You know, I don't know that. Here's the thing. If you have to legislate AM to keep it alive, that means there's not consumers out there that are interested in it. And if there was, you'd have a consumer rally doing this. My guess is that you've got people, maybe the NAB or something like that, kind of behind this because of broadcasters. But actual consumer usage of AM may just be down. I don't know. I mean, I hate to come across like that, but the market's going to change, and people got to change with it too, I think.
Well, you're right, and that's where the debate comes. So my take on the story is, look, I understand why they want AM radios out of cars. They're just saying it's increased cost for nothing. When you listen to it, it's just so staticky, it's not very valuable. The audio quality isn't very good. It's all mono. It's not stereo, unless you take these little snapshots in history where there was AM stereo. But most folks don't even have the equipment to handle that or whatever. So it's just basically mono. It's all staticky. It increased the cost in cars. It doesn't come through well. Why even put it in here, they're saying?
Yeah, but do you really believe the increased
saying,
cost
you got to have it. The
do
what
you,
issue?
Do you really believe the increased cost issue? I mean, AM radio is pretty cheap. I don't know that it's going to add that much cost. Plus, nowadays, with all of the AI and super processing and things that they have nowadays, they should be able to clean up AM quite a bit. I mean, we've talked about stuff like that for years now, 20 years.
Yeah, but that's if they want to. See, I think they want to kill AM, though.
Yeah, they probably want the spectrum back, right?
So you know, because they want Wi-Fi the spectrum 7. Back, and they also, you can't encrypt or control the signal, so you can't charge for it. It's just free air, free over the air kind of stuff in a way, right?
Right.
All the other digital channels are all, you know, you got to have the right decoder to receive it or whatever, and a lot of the channels are encrypted and everything else. The old satellite dishes, I could just steer it across the sky and listen carefully and dial it in because the analog would just come in over time. But you have these digital, you know, channels that are encrypted. Not only do you have to be exactly pointed perfect, but you've got to have the right decoder or you can't get it anyway.
You're right about that.
And I think they want a lot of that. I think that there's control in this thing. What's interesting to me is that it's become such a huge battle, though, Jay. I mean, you've got legislators on Capitol Hill dealing with this. You've got the AM, quote, lobby, you know, demanding and insisting that AM stay in vehicles. You've got the automaker lobby that wants it gone. It's kind of an epic battle right now. And I'm afraid that, you know, legislative bodies are going to get bills in place to force certain things. I think they ought to let it go. We let go of 8-tracks. We let go of, you know, black and white TV. We moved from AM to FM literally, what, in the early 70s?
Yeah. This would be like somebody
kind of thing.
This would be like people mandating that you had to have Citizens Band in your car or mandating that you had to have XM, for example.
You got to have a CB, yeah.
XM is, you know, what if they put out a law, you know, you had some backers and stuff and people were like, oh, you have to carry XM now. That can add a lot of cost. That's got satellite antennas and all kinds of other things that got to go with it. I don't think that car makers should be able to put whatever they want in a car. I don't think you should mandate anything on the radio.
Imagine that. You should be able to put whatever you want in the car. So I just think AM radio.
Let the market decide.
I'm an AM guy. I owned an AM radio station for a decade, so I know, you know, quite a bit about it. I have a love for it. I have a love for old-time radio programs and everything. I have a love for the history of it. But I don't see how you can make it stay. If other technologies beat it out, then that's just the way it's going to be. And I think if you were to get rid of the AM band and turn the AM band into, instead of a licensed band, think of the CB band but for AM radio people. Now, anybody and their dog can put up a station. You might have some interference, but you've already got all that. But AM would be basically short distance. You'd play it for your neighborhood, your block, your house, your big property, your whatever. You could have AM stations on car lots and all these, you know, to hear about the latest cars, tune to this channel, and or you can listen to, you know, Christmas whatever, or you can listen to store specials as you, you know, you're out in front of a store, or, you know, they could use them for all kinds of reasons if they just made that band more of a citizens band AM.
Then it would be just like CB is right now.
CBAM.
CB is a mess, though. I mean, you have these people in Mexico that are just blasting 1,000 watts all over and scattering on different channels, and it's just garbage. It's a total mess.
So is AM radio.
That's probably true, but it's not as bad. AM is still, you know,
because it's licensed.
Yep.
But you've got at night a ton of skip where it, you know, you can hear it, you know, many, many states away. You've got it all kind of things, and it's got static in it. It's got all these problems. And so I kind of think AM is kind of going to go the way of CDs or kind of the way of reel to reel, or kind of the way of 8-tracks, or kind of the way of cassettes, or kind of the way of MDs, or whatever you want to go. You know, it's had its day. It had its place. It has tremendous value. But unless AM can go digital, or unless something else can happen, I just don't think the audio quality and the interference justifies the forcing of it in every vehicle.
Well, maybe we'll see a resurgence of it later on. I mean, CD, that's happening to CDs. It's already happened with LPs, you know, with records. Vinyl records are outselling CDs right
now.
That's
right.
But there's a big push for CDs and DVDs back now because people are tired of all of the licensing and shows dropping and stuff like that. They want to own their content, and you don't own it when you're renting it from a digital subscriber.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, anyway, there you have it. I thought that was an interesting discussion. It is a big battle on Capitol Hill. Everybody seems to be talking about it, and every time I think the issue's dead, somebody makes it kind of a reinsurgent issue. You know, there's decreasing interest from drivers. There's all this static. There's all these things, but they're, you know, the lobbies are pushing to mandate it, and I think it's a bad precedent being set. I think it should go the way of all technology, which is it has its heyday, and then it moves into something bigger, better, faster, cheaper, 9 times out of 10. And let that marketplace, you know, if AM radio is so great, let it beat a path to your door, Jay.
Yeah, but I think that radio in general is, as far as over-the-air radio, is kind of struggling a little bit. You've got so many different ways that people can stream, and you got Spotify, and you've got all of these on-demand things. And once people have ubiquitous data in the car, which I think we can say that they do now, right? Mobile data. I mean, you have your cars that
it's
can be hotspots.
It's more and more, without question.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, you and I 10 years ago, that was like pretty cool and pretty unheard of. But nowadays, it's pretty, everybody has it, and they're well covered through their cellular plan or through their car's router. A lot of times you can get that done. And most people have that now. I think a lot of people, you know, there is still a good market for radio and people that just don't want to manage their own playlists and all that kind of stuff. So, and people that are into news talk and things that are generative and happening right now that you want to get. I mean, like this show, for example. But you can stream that too, so you can listen to it at your leisure as well. So there's shifting demand for consumers, and there's shifting availability, and the market's always in flux, I think.
I've got a prediction for you, and okay. Here's what I think will happen. I think AM radio will continue. I think they will mandate it, which I disagree with. And I think there'll be a resurgence of AM radio. I think there will be some things done to clean up the signals somewhat. And I think for the most part, AM radio will become a local medium. You know, for a long time, radio was local. Then it went to where it was all just, you know, packaged and syndicated. But I think for the most part, you're going to start to see a whole lot more local on radio. And there'll be some syndication, but local will be their key to success. Dealing with things in the community that aren't covered by newspapers that are going away, that aren't covered by, you know, all kinds of ways they can make it local and have it endeared to their community.
I agree with that slightly, but with a shift, I think that AM is going to die, and I think that you'll see that same locality and news, talk, and sports, but it'll be more on the FM dial. We see it already with LPFMs and community FMs, but I think it's going to be more on the FM dial. The AM dial is probably going to go away in the next, I don't know, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, we'll see. There are also these digital FM channels, too. And I guess if you have a digital FM radio to some degree, you'll have the, I can't remember what they're called, but there's these sub-channels and stuff that they have to where you can have a lot of content in the same digital space. And I think they're going for that, too.
That's right.
So,
you know, you have six channels on one frequency.
Amen to that. And it's only the digital decoder that can decipher which, you know, break out what you're actually listening to based on the encoding and decoding algorithms that are used. So,
yeah, but it's sad that kids won't be able to be, you know, making crystal radios and doing some of that fun stuff that we did when we were kids.
No, they'll just play with Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, you're right.
Like that, and they'll create some, you know,
frequency agile antennas, and they'll be decoding it on their own, writing code for it. I like it.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting, but I want to build me a little teeny Raspberry Pi radio that's good. Problem is, I just don't see a bunch of stable enough stuff to work on it yet. I'll have to dig into that more.
I've played with this.
Apple says we're working on a fix for glitch. They call it glitchy iPhone alarms, Jay. For some, the alarms have stopped working altogether. John Johnson with this piece. I don't even know how to respond to this thing. I guess what happened is they did an upgrade to the Apples, and now the alarms aren't working for some people.
That could be a mess. You know, people are going to be late
serious,
to work.
Jay. Late to work, late to take medicine, late to, I mean, I'll pick up your kids. I mean, this is disaster. People have come to depend on this.
Yes,
more
they
than
have.
Look at your watch. You know, it's like, what time is it? They don't say it's time to get a watch anymore. They're like, where's your phone?
Yeah, what's an alarm clock? Nobody knows what that is anymore.
But the alarms go off, and I think this is kind of a big setback for Apple, though. They're having a hard time explaining it. They can't really tell what's causing it. It's intermittent, and they're trying to get to the bottom of it and fix it, Jay.
Is it specific to a hardware version or an iOS version or just random?
I
haven't seen this. I haven't experienced this at all.
They're trying to figure this out.
Wow. That is crazy. I use the alarms all the time. I probably have 15 of them set.
15 alarms set?
Yeah, for different times and days of the week and things that have to be done. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I probably have another 30 that have been used in the past and maybe used again to where they're disabled. But, yeah, I have tons of alarms.
All right. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. The alarms are melting down, not working. So, you know, kind of be on edge when you set an alarm. Be cognizant to see if it really goes off, I guess, is the point, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, when you're in your hotel room and the shades are drawn so it's super dark or whatever, you're going to have to call the front desk and say, can you send me a wake-up call?
Yeah, what is that?
It's kind of a backup to make sure that, you know, you get up on time.
They have wake-up call services online where you can tell them your phone number, when to have a call, and you can always use that as a backup, too.
Yeah, and some of those actually work pretty cool because they can ring multiple phones and stuff, too, Jay.
Yeah.
They're pretty powerful online. And the best part about them is even if your own, you know, power goes out or whatever else, since they're in the cloud elsewhere, unless, you know, the whole cloud infrastructure goes down, they'll still send out their alarms, Jay.
You can also get a wind-up clock, and it won't matter if the power goes out at all.
You mean like a little one that you take in your luggage, like a portable little wind-up?
Wind it up, and you set the alarm. It's got the hammer with the two little bells on it, you know. And
now you're going way old school, yeah. Jay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, we need old school stuff. I mentioned that Teslas crash more than gas-powered cars. Here's why, they say. Peter Valdez Datner is the one with this piece. I guess Hertz announced that it was selling 20,000 electric cars out of its own fleet and replacing them with gas vehicles. You say, why? Well, drivers kept crashing the cars, Jay. I guess unless you're used to an electric car, it doesn't work out the same, and people are crashing them left and right. Hertz CEO Stephen Scherr, noted that the cost of repairs to the electric vehicles when people crash are much, much higher.
Ouch.
And Hertz has stepped back from EV sales because it's become a problem for the industry. Yeah, everybody's having a hard time keeping these things in one piece. I guess when you hit the gas, you can take off really fast. And when you let go of the single pedal, it can slow you down really fast. And people are misjudging the vehicles around them. In other words, you move and you don't speed up and slow down at the rates and the cadence that you're used to, Jay. And therefore, you're literally crashing because you misjudge things and you're out of step with your expectations.
Yeah, well, these are rental cars, Hertz is. So you probably a lot of people that are doing this. It's their very first experience with an electric car and certainly their first experience with a single pedal drive. And no wonder, you know.
Yeah, they say after a year, then the people's likelihood of crashing becomes less because they get used to the vehicle more. And, you know, if you change from one gas-powered car to another gas-powered car, it's not a problem. If you change from one EV to another EV, though, it could be a big problem because a lot of the EVs act differently, Jay. So,
yeah,
in other
true.
Words, when you drive a gas car, yes, it's bigger, it's smaller, it's wider, it's longer, but it drives the same, right, for the most part. Whereas these electric cars don't drive the same. You got to get used to kind of a new experience in the way it behaves and responds to your actions. Anyway, Teslas accounted for 80% of the fleet that Hertz had. 80%, Jay, that's a massive number.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a misnomer. There may be single-pedal cars. And you can do one-pedal driving because as you let go of the gas and you bring it all the way back up, it can do that regenerative braking. But I'm pretty sure that Teslas still have two pedals. They have a dedicated brake pedal as well.
Yes, they do. My point is when you let go of your gas in your, you know, gas car or let go of your gas pedal, you slow down, but it's only the car. It's like, what, inertia slowing it down or whatever?
Yeah, and a little bit of engine braking.
But not much in a gas car, though. You just let it go, and it just slows down. When you let go on a electric vehicle, though, from what I understand, it's almost like if you were in a stick shift and you were using your shift downshifting as braking, right?
Yeah, that's a good analogy, probably.
But even more so.
Not that anybody knows how to drive a stick shift anymore, but
even more reactive, though, is what I'm saying, is to where you let go of that thing and you're going to slow down way faster than you think you would. And that's what I mean. If you're going to slow down and then try to turn into another lane behind someone or this and that, if you slow down too quick and someone's not counting on you doing it, and all I'm telling you is it gets everybody out of sync, and it's kind of a problem. They say this might mean that Teslas are even more subject to crashing than other electric vehicles. They don't know that, but 80%, you know, Teslas kind of make that point in their minds that there could be something to that as well.
I blame it on operator error.
It
makes it sound like it's a car defect, but it's really an operator error or an inexperienced error with people who are admittedly very new to it, and that's why. A little bit.
Yeah, they say crashes are even more frequent in households with both gas and electric model cars. So switching back and forth is even worse for you than trying to change and adjust to it. Switching back and forth exacerbates the issue, they say, Jay.
That makes sense.
Now, the other interesting thing is they say insurance claims are going up and up and up and up. The cost is just going through the roof because of electric vehicles.
I think that's any car, though. I mean, you look at the latest gas trucks or vehicles, you know, they're pushing $100,000 now. It's crazy. It's not just the electric cars. In fact, the electric cars are supposed to be cheaper. I'm a little miffed about that, but, you know, it is what it is. But cars are expensive. I mean, to get a decent car or van or anything, I mean, you're looking at oftentimes a starting point of $50,000, and you add a bunch of options and stuff, and you're going to be $70,000, $90,000. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they say there's differences, too. For example, Teslas don't have a start button to turn the vehicle on and off. Instead, once the driver sits in the vehicle, that dude's already ready to go, and people aren't really ready for that because it's silent. There's no sound, and so you can't tell when the car's on or off. And so if you think you're not ready to go, but yet you're kind of playing around or you're trying to adjust or do something, if you're not careful, you're going to take off, Jay.
Yeah, you don't want to get in there and pump the gas twice like you did in your 57 Chevy before you try to start it.
That's what I'm talking about. Perhaps more importantly, they say for insurance purposes, electric vehicles such as Teslas tend to be fast. And so people tend to, put the pedal to the metal, Jay. Everybody just seems to drive fast.
0 to 60 in 4 seconds, some of those. So, yeah, that'll put you back in the seat.
The zippy coupe kind of thing, you know, and people are going, you know. Now, listen. They say that the Tesla model, there's a certain model that can go from like 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds. That's crazy fast.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so they're looking at horsepower and how fast a car can start and stop and the insurance. You know, if you get a sports car, the insurance will cost more. If you get what, and so they're starting to basically start applying these kind of factors too to say, that car's going to cost you a lot more to insure, Jay, because, you know, not only the added speeds, but the vehicles are way heavier, too. So when you crash, buddy, it's a much, what do you want to say, larger, bigger, more intense crash, I guess?
If you're Hertz, though, or Budget, or any Avis, any of these car rental companies, I think your goal would be to have the cars that most people are used to. So if 90% of people are driving internal combustion engines, that's probably the cars you should have. The only reason I think that you would have electric fancy cars as part of your fleet is maybe just to show that you're cutting edge, or maybe for those consumers who think that that's super important over other things. I don't know. To me, I would think if you're going to be a like budget rental car, you'd want to have the most common, most familiar vehicles that your clientele is going to be driving. Wouldn't you, Sam?
Yeah, you're right about that. And so the answer would be a gas-powered vehicle, Jay.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
For now.
Especially if they're cheaper.
That wouldn't eventually change, but unless you've driven a Tesla, it's a totally new experience for you. And I know this, whenever I go traveling and stuff and we have a chance, we always choose a gas-powered car. And I usually choose cars similar to what I have. I either choose some kind of an SUV or I choose a minivan because we've got both of those. And I choose those kind of cars because they're comfortable and familiar.
Have you ever rented an electric before?
Nope.
Oh, me neither, but I don't travel as much as you do.
Yeah, but would you want to rent an electric?
I would, because Jay is a tech guy who'd want to test it. So I wouldn't, because I'd be like, I want to have an electric vehicle. I would love to rent a Tesla and drive it around in another, you know, I would take the opportunity, yes, if I had it.
Yeah, so my wife would say, on the other hand, I don't want to have a vehicle that I'm just not comfortable with and stuff.
Yeah,
already driving a car
unfamiliar
that I don't want to crash because it's a rental and I don't want to have all the problems. And, you know, I just want to be super careful and just get whatever I'm doing done and give the car back so I'm not responsible for anything. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Agreed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're talking about automakers trying to get rid of AM radio, whether you're talking about electric car crashes, or whether you're talking about Apple not setting your alarms, we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. NPITechGuys.com for the show, NetworkProvidersInc.com for our company. Make it a great tech day, will you? Hey, thanks.